policy side in here this morning. I didn't know until I arrived last night that I was going to be one of the speakers. And the phone rang and I was asked, my first instinct was to drop the phone and run. But you guys told me something at the Missouri Union last year that God would never ask me to do anything that I couldn't handle with His help. And so I do hope that I will rely on God to help me this day through the days of my life. There are times in my life that I've become weak and falter, as I'm sure each of us do it from time to time, and we have to gather ourselves back up and pick ourselves up and get back in the grace of God where we belong, in His guidance. The last time I preached the independence of these local, I asked Linda to help me, but the Bible wouldn't mind detailing me at this time. I was so nervous I couldn't find the scripture, and she found it and read it for me. I think back of the comments on the comments that Jack made this morning in his opening remarks of the unpreparedness, and here again I was caught unprepared because I had no idea that I was going to be asked to be the speaker. We came out here with the intent of enjoying a little vacation, enjoying some of God's great country that we've seen while we was here, and put on a music program. And I thought that was going to be stand-up, which that was frightening enough because to stand up here and sing is terribly frightening to me. And then I found out I was a speaker and that just doubled it. So I hope that your prayers will be for me today. The things that I might bring out to you this day, I'm sure, will not be of anything new. The scriptures are old and dear to each and every one of us. I would just like to jog your memories. And it seems like each and every sermon that I prepare is more for me than it is for anyone else, because I guess I know myself better than I know the other people. I would like to begin this evening, by turning to Galatians chapter 6. And I want to begin reading at the first verse. And as I read, I will stop and make comments. Says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here Paul is admonishing the people in Galatia, and the scriptures are for us pertinent today, telling us if we see a brother that we know and we love, and they have a fault, that it is our duty to go to that brother and to help him straighten the fault out. But how we do it is another situation. It says that we should go to that brother in meekness. And why? It goes on to say that we should consider ourselves, lest that also we should be tempted and fall into the same fault that our brother has fallen into. I know a fella that a year or so back was counseling a young girl because the young girl had fallen into marital problems and had left the husband that she was married to at the time and was living with her first husband. It's very complicated. And he was counseling her through the scriptures. And some few years later, that same brother was found in the same fault. And I think this is what it tells us. That we should consider ourselves, and we should continue in the meekness of God, that we not fall in that same fault as we see others fall into and help. Continue to read. It says, "Be ye, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I think that's in part what we did this morning in our prayer and testimony service, that we bared one another's burdens, that we can stand and tell one another the problems that we have, the blessings that we have received in our lives, and that we can share them one with another. I think that's what Christian love is all about. It says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And Paul tells us time and time again that we should not hold ourselves up, that we should, as Christians, consider ourselves of the lowliest, that we should not consider ourselves to be better than our fellow man or our brothers. It says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. If we will bolster ourselves, if we will do the work that God wants us to do, we can rejoice in that and in ourselves and not have to rely on that of our brother. It says, every man shall bear his own burden. To me, that means that bearing your own burdens, that when you stand before the judgment seat of God, that you're going to have to be held accountable for the things that you have done. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We have to realize in our lives as we go down the path that the things here upon the face of this earth is not important. The automobiles that we drive, the homes that we have, the clothes that we wear, whatever that we hold dear to our hearts, they're not important. They're not important to God's eyes, and we shouldn't hold them important in our own eyes. What we should hold important in our own eyes is the Spirit, because that is what lasts eternally, is the Spirit of the body. And it says that if we sow to the flesh, so shall the flesh, the evil of the flesh, we shall reap. But if we sow to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, I guess that's probably one of my faults. If I do well for a time and I don't see a result, particularly in my prayers, if I pray for a particular person or a particular instance and I don't see a result, I do grow weary. And it's a fault of mine. And I pray to God that I not falter, that I not be weary in the things that I do and my prayers for other people. It says, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And there's the answer. If we faint not, we shall reap from that prayer. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are to do good to each and every one of our brothers that we meet on the street, our fellow men, but it says especially to the household of faith. To my brothers here before me this day, and that's God's word to us. Now I'd like to turn to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. And I want to read verses 1 through 5, and this is the main topic of my talk this afternoon. Verse 1, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give it portion to 7, and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the ways of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all things. We go back to Isaiah, in the 55th chapter, in 8th and 9th verse, it tells us that God's ways are greater than man's ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. We cannot, in one speck of the imagination know the plan that God has set forth from the foundation of the earth. Going back to verse 1, it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." This means that the things that we do, the things that we say in this life, is going to come back to us someday. I have found this to be true so many times. If you speak harshly to a neighbor, to a brother, it will come back in harshness. If you speak in kindness, it will come back in kindness. Orne uses an example that when he speaks to his dog, no matter what he says to his dog, it's the tone of voice that he uses. If he speaks in harshness, the dog will tuck his tail and run. If he speaks in love, even if he tells that dog he hates him, that dog will wag his tail and come right up to him and want to lick him. And that's so true. And it's the same thing, only you have to, people know what you're talking about, so you have to use kind words, of course. So the things that you say, the examples that you set, we each set good examples or bad examples in our lives. And I hope to think that as we go down life's pathway, that we set a good example, that we might be able to have people to look at us and not hold us up, but say, there goes a good Christian person. Jack read this morning in the Book of Mormon, and I'm going to read it again. On page 430, he read one verse, the 228th verse. It says, "Behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day of men to perform their labors." You know, we may never last until the end of time. We don't know from moment to moment whether we will be killed in an automobile accident, whether we will be taken with a heart attack, whether we will be found with cancer or whatever might come upon us. And that's what this scripture says, that we should prepare today to meet God, because today we might meet God. There's a story in the scriptures of a gentleman that had his barns full of grain. And he had more grain coming in, and he didn't know what to do with it. So he decided, well, he'd build more barns. And instead of giving to the poor and to the needy, he was hoarding what he had. And that night, I don't recall whether it was an angel or how it was brought about. I didn't read the story. It just came to my mind. I will say an angel came to him and said to him, it says, "Thy fool, thy life will be required of thee this night." He didn't get to enjoy that grain. No one else did either, as far as that goes. But that shows us that if we hoard our things and our belongings and not share them, what good are they to us and to others? We need to share not only our belongings, but our time. There was an example some years ago from the pulpit, and I don't remember who used it. And they brought the point across that if you go to a function, whether it be to a movie or whether it be to whatever, I know some people don't believe in movies, I particularly say that I don't care for them myself, but whatever the function might be, when you go up to purchase a ticket, purchase two, one for yourself and one for Christ. And if you can turn and take Christ to that function, then it's well and good. I think you can go. But if you can't, you better stop and think, should I go myself or not? I think not. If we can't take Christ with us wherever that we go, I think we better back off and look at our lives. Here again, the casting of our bread upon the water is the works that we do. The lives that we live, the examples that we set, maybe not always the things that we say, but just our pure lives. In Ephesians, it's over on the next page or so. Yeah, I'm not going to turn to it. I forgot I was in here. But in Ephesians, I have it written down here, says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. Here God's word tells us that he has given us a gift of salvation. That salvation cannot be bought with money. That salvation cannot be bought with anything that you have. It says, by grace are you saved, by the grace of God, through faith, and not by works, lest any man should boast. Meaning that if we could save ourselves through the works that we do, we could look at our brother and say, look at me. I saved my soul because of the works that I do. And with that thought in mind, why should we do good works? What profit is good works to us in our lives? I want to turn to Revelations, the 20th chapter. I have two or three scriptures I want to read. I want to read the 12th and the 13th verse. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And we all know, according to the Book of Mormon, that we will, when we die, we will stand before God. It says, and the books were opened. I can't say of a surety, but to me, this books is plural. To me, it means the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Because it goes on to say, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And this Book of Life, as it is referred to, means that the things that we have done here in this life have been recorded. It says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. I want to turn to, still in Revelations, chapter 22 and verse 12. It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. And one other place I want to turn to is James chapter 1, and I want to read verses 21 through 25. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here James is telling us that if we hear the word only and go our separate ways, it's like a man beholding himself in the face, in a mirror, his face in a mirror. I have heard it said that if an artist was to paint a self-portrait, it's very difficult because they can't remember what they look like. Try it sometime and describe yourself to someone else in every detail, to the detail that you can draw yourself, your face on a picture, and see if you can do it. It's, I would say, almost impossible. And this is the way the Word of God is. That if we hear the Word and go about our daily living and not practice that Word, we soon fall away from the Word. And here again, I find myself guilty of these things. I don't read as I ought to. I don't study the gospel as I ought to. And that's why that I thank God that when I'm called upon to preach, because that makes me steady. And it keeps me humble. In fact, I had admitted to myself and others that it would be well if I was called upon every Sunday, and that way maybe I could keep myself in the frame of mind that I should, but I don't always. There are two things that I'd like to bring out in the thought of casting our bread upon the waters, and that is giving. Giving of two things. First of all, the giving of money. I think the giving of our tithing to the church is a Christian duty that we have to live up to. The scriptures tell us very explicitly that we do. I want to turn to Malachi. The third chapter. And read. And I believe it was Joel that touched upon tithing today. I want to read verses 8 and 10. And as I read this earlier, I recall an article in the that was in the Hammond Fellowship and in the Advocate also that Gordon McCann wrote along these same lines. It says, beginning with verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." And here is the blessing that we reap from paying the tithe. "If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive you." Here it tells us that if we pay our tithing, that He will pour us out a blessing so great that we can't imagine what it would be like. On that same thought, I want to turn to Luke and read the story. Chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. And this is a parable. And a parable I think that we can apply in this instance. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Here is an example of a man that fasted, he prayed, he paid his tithing, but what did he do wrong? He bragged about it. He had the wrong attitude. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this poor, miserable wretch beside me. And those are my words, of course. And Christ's words tells us which of these two men was the most blessed. The man that bragged on what he did, or the man that merely asked God to forgive him of his sins. It tells us in the scriptures not to let your right hand consider the tithing, know what your left hand is doing. That doesn't mean not to let your wife or your children know what's going on, but that means this story right here is not to go around bragging about what you do. That's not their business. That's between you and God. And if you pay your tithing between you and God, even though there are going to be other people know about it, the bishops will know about it because that's where the money goes to. And they, in turn, put the money out to people who need it. That's not the point. The point is that we are not to stand and brag about what we have done. And that applies in any instance, not only in tithing. Another thing I'd like to touch upon is our time. And I think just as important, if not more important, is our time than our money. And to prove my point, I want to turn to a story in Acts. I want to go to the third chapter. And as I listened to Mike's testimony this morning, this story came to my mind. Acts chapter 3, I want to begin with the first verse and read through verse 7. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that had entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Catch that. It says that he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles and his ankle bones received strength." And you go on and read the rest of the story if you want some time. But the point is that if Peter and John, as they had entered the gate, had merely tossed a coin to the lame man, would that have exalted God? I don't think so. They took the time to tell the man, "Silver and gold have I none. I don't have money to give you, but I've got something better. I've got time to give to you to impart the word of God." And they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And he did. Had they not have taken that time to do so, the poor man would still have been sitting there to his dying day. And he wouldn't have been able to stand and testify that God was good for him, that God healed him of the affliction that he had. There is a time for money, there is a time for time. And I think that we have to know the difference. I want to turn to James and read one verse. In the first chapter, the 27th verse. And this describes religion. It says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." This is something that we need to do daily, is to visit our neighbors, to visit those who aren't able to get out, to fellowship with them, to take the time and spend a little time with them. You will find out that in this time is more important than the money that you can give them. And here again, the testimony that Mike bore this morning reminded me of this story. He took the time to stop and to help this man. And he didn't say, "Well, here's $5, go your way." He took time and offered love to the man that he picked up. There's a song that we sang, and I love it dearly. The name of the song, we talked about songs in our testimony service this morning, says, "Take time to be holy." And if you stop and think about it, it takes time to be holy. You can't just be holy on Sunday. We have to be holy 7 days of the week. And we can't just come to church and be holy, but we have to witness of God. You know, we can stand here, and everybody here knows I'm a Christian. But does the people of the world know that I'm a Christian? Do the people at work know that I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, called of God? Do they know that? How is the best way to show them that? By going up and telling them? I don't think so. In instances, that's good. But you have to show them that you're a Christian. And you don't have to be a minister to show them that you're a Christian. the examples here again that you set in your daily life, the way you handle each situation that you're confronted with, is how people know you and how they can rely on you.
The scriptures tell us that when you're in the service of your fellow man, that you're in the service of God. I think many, many times that we fail to serve our fellow man as we should. Always. I'm not saying that we don't, but there's a lot of times that we could do something for our fellow man that we don't. I've got a couple more scriptures that I want to read and close. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to read one verse. That's verse 12. It says, therefore all things whatsoever. Chapter 3, and here again read one verse. It says, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So that tells us that everything that we do, from the moment that we wake up in the morning till the time that we lay down ourselves at night to sleep, that do everything to God. Give God the glory for all that we have, for all that we say, for all that we do. But be sure that God would bless and uphold the things that we say and do. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for the privilege of coming out and associating with each and every one of you. I pray that you will pray for me and my family, and I'm thankful that
here. Thank you. shall